Hey everyone, welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. On this episode, you are actually going to be listening to one of our YouTube exclusive sessions that we've been doing. A lot of you guys have been asking if we could make them available on our podcast platform, which we have. But if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, go ahead and go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. That way you can stay up to date with any new episodes or any new content that we upload. So these sessions have honestly been so much fun, and we've heard so much great feedback from you guys. So yeah, anyway, without further ado, we hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to the Handlebar Sessions. I'm here with Pastor Aaron Smith.
Oh, Pastor Aaron Smith. And I'm here with Pastor Rafi.
My friend. This has been really fun doing them like this on the couch, just conversations.
It has been.
It's been really sweet. So we have another question.
We do.
For you guys. So our friend, our boy, Chase, is here.
In the house.
What you got for us, my boy?
Give us a question.
Oh, should we drum roll?
Yes, drum roll.
Okay.
I got you.
All right.
Delaney,
19, from Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Canada.
Is, hockey.
What is the difference between guilt and the conviction of the Holy Spirit?
Whoa.
Have you been to Manitoba, Canada?
No, have you?
No.
You've been
to Winnipeg?
I've been to like Montreal and Toronto, but I think that's the other side. How did you jump into that? I'm like,
I don't know. Guilt? I like Canada. I like that it's...
Canada's a vibe.
I feel like a lot of people go to Mexico, but you don't hear a lot of people go to Canada. But Canada's beautiful.
Canada is really beautiful.
It's beautiful.
There's mountains and bears. The Canadian Rockies are like
their food.
Well, poutine is a little weird. I need help with
conviction, guilt. What is the difference? All right, 10 minutes. Let's do this.
I need y'all to help me with poutine. Explain to me what's so great about it.
I don't know what that is, but the name
itself. It's like the number one Canadian food, I think.
All right, 10 minutes.
Okay, but that makes sense.
Starting now. Bring it back, Rafi. Come on. What is the difference?
I don't get why that throws you off.
Between guilt and conviction.
Oh.
I actually love this question. What is the difference between guilt and conviction?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think you could even say, what is the difference between condemnation and conviction? Yeah.
Well, that's sort of why I'm like, I'm just feeling very grateful to be free of that.
Yeah.
To be free of condemnation, to be free of guilt and shame. Like, oof. Because really, this is the heart of like the gospel, and everything that Jesus did revolves around this conversation.
It's true.
It really does. Because that was the condition that happened to us as humans, like in the garden. It was all about that. Like the Father never changed his mind about us. It was the fact that we felt like we needed to hide.
Which is what Jesus was dealing with. Condemnation will lead you to hide from God.
Yes. And conviction, I think, in its purest form, actually draws you closer.
That's true.
To the Lord.
I think of Romans 8, obviously.
Yeah.
There's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes, I'm in Christ Jesus.
Where are your accusers now?
And where are your accusers now? But I think conviction... I'll say it like this. Guilt and condemnation have always called me, we just said it, but to hide from the Lord, or will cause me to hide what I'm walking through, will cause me to hide what I'm dealing with. But conviction always empowers me.
Mm.
Think about that. When you're feeling guilt and condemnation, that's actually how I feel like I've learned to navigate the two. What am I feeling in my heart? Oh, do I feel empowered to confess what I'm walking through? Do I feel empowered to change how I'm living? Do I feel empowered? Do I feel the grace of God coming upon me to make a change to what I'm doing? No, but I feel really bad about something. Well, then that's probably condemnation.
Right.
But conviction has always caused me to, anytime I have confessed a sin, anytime I have put something in the light that was not in the light, that was, I was hiding, was in darkness, something nobody knew about me. It has always been because the conviction of God hit me. And then grace came with that,
yes,
which empowered me to get out of what I was doing. It caused me to make that phone call. It caused me to send that text. And it caused me to go to a father in my life and say, hey, I need to confess something to you. I need to be in the light with something. Why? Because the conviction of God hit me.
Yeah.
You know, we've done a previous episode on music where we talked about conviction in that way. Well, conviction will cause me to change what I listen to. Conviction will cause me to change what I'm watching. Conviction will cause me to not talk a certain way. Conviction will empower you to do something.
Yeah.
Guilt will cause you to hide.
Yes.
And stay in it.
Yeah.
Condemnation will cause you to hide and stay in it. Shame will tell you not what you did is wrong, but you're wrong. And I think some of those subtle lies have helped me decipher the two.
Bro, yes. And there's even like a, like what something that you said or sort of said is conviction comes with grace and the other ones don't. I mean, the other one is like, it's like a web and you get, it goes down and down and it's even worse and it tries to attach it. It goes like all over your life. And I think once you're in that conversation, I'm putting myself in that place of like, I did something that I shouldn't have done. Once you start, if you just, it's literally that foothold thing. Like you start to negotiate like, well, I can share, but how much should I share? I can share, but when should I share? I can bring it into the light, but like, I don't really have anyone that I'm really close with right now. Like
you feel bad
that
for what you
weird.
Did.
Yeah. You know?
You're so
already
you're like
in the conversation
contemplating, should
with
I do
condemnation,
something or,
guilt and shame. And that is going to, it will grow and grow until you've got this whole hidden life. You're isolated on the inside, sometimes even isolated from yourself, which is a whole other, like you're just literally pretending that mess in the corner is not there. And that's not the gospel. The gospel wants to give you freedom so that whole room
is
clean
and
in the light.
Gospel is that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it.
Yes, because the thing is bacteria grows in the dark. Ooh. But the only, this blows my mind. You know how hand sanitizer says like it kills 99.1% of germs or something like that. Like it's never 100%. I read this. The only thing that kills 100% of bacteria is UV light. There's nothing else that can. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's what happens when you walk in the light. You kill all the stuff that grows
that
in the darkness and that wet. Like you disarm the enemy. You disarm the accusing. Because that's the thing. Where are your accusers now? When you start in those conversations, it's those accusations.
Yeah.
The accusations against yourself. The accusations against, oh man, I'm doing this because of my dad or whatever. Or this person or whatever. All that stuff. God doesn't accuse people.
Yeah.
Like if you're dealing with accusations, whether they're true or not, you're in a conversation with the accuser and you need to get out of that mess because his goal is to destroy you. But conviction comes with grace. It might not be fun, but it will be marked with his presence. It will be marked with grace.
I think it's even worth talking through. We're talking about the difference between condemnation and conviction, but I even think grace, talking about the difference between grace and mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're talking about grace, and I think I see a lot of times where people mistake grace for mercy. They think, I'm in sin. Well, there's grace for that. You know what I'm saying? But they don't realize grace is the power of God
to
save.
Power to,
grace is the power to that you need when you're in your weakness to rely on his strength. Right. Mercy says you're guilty, but I'm not going to give you the punishment you deserve.
Right. Yeah.
Mercy says, wow, I see what you did. You are guilty, yet I'm going to pay that bill.
I'm overlooking
that's
your
mercy.
Offense.
Mercy overlooks the offense. Mm-hmm. And God delights in showing mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Like we see that it's what he loves to do. But oftentimes we think grace is mercy, but grace is not mercy. Grace is the power of God to save. Grace is the power for you to get up out of that mess and say, I need to be in the light.
Yes.
I need to turn that UV light on.
Yeah.
There's some bacteria growing.
This is important. This is important because he delights in showing mercy.
Yes.
And mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank you, Amanda Cook. Because that's those are true. Both in the Bible, but she just made that so memorable. See that song? Check the first conversation. Songs are better at giving you theology. Anyway, I showed up late today to this recording, right? And Aaron showed me mercy. But the difference between mercy and grace is not, he didn't give me grace because I was late. So he had to give me mercy because I had done I had done something that was wrong. I had said I was going to be here and then I didn't. grace would have been God.
You're super, throwing yourself under the bus right now. I was linked to this recording.
Supernaturally helping me to be here on time. That would be grace. Yeah. And so that, to me, that's the difference between grace and mercy.
Well, I even think, you know, we were recently in Europe. We were in actually the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And we were in Ireland. And we had just done a session, Rafi and I. And remember that mom came up for prayer.
Yeah.
And she was saying, I want to, we had talked about intimacy with God. She was talking about, I want to get more, I want to spend more time with God. I want to get in my word. I want to get alone with God.
Yeah.
And I love what you guys have been saying, but I have 5 kids. I have a husband. My kids are homeschooled. I have no time. And so I remember I prayed over her and I talked about God is going to teach you how to find him in little moments that look differently. That was kind of my prayer. And you had either a word of knowledge or just a moment where you said, I want to speak to something. I felt like why Aaron was praying for you, that you were envisioning your calendar in your mind going, there's no room for that. Hmm. And she said, yeah, that's right. I was. And you said, you need grace. I hear God saying you need grace. And then you told her grace is God's ability to do something that you can't. And she starts, it was the first time her heart opened up and she started receiving what we had been praying and saying, because grace, God's grace gives you the ability to do something that you can't because it's his strength.
Yeah.
Not yours. And so I think you tie all of that back into conviction.
And it's not.
You call it, you tie all that back to condemnation. Well, condemnation, there's no grace in condemnation. You know what I'm saying? Condemnation is you are listening to the narrative.
Up, which means you're messed up.
Yeah.
Which this
is. It's the enemy's narrative.
You're never going to get this.
Right. But conviction is like the precursor to God's grace. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel God's conviction. Oh, his grace is right there to meet me to do something.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So.
And something about what you're saying, like once you start engaging with that condemnation, I think it's important to do this. Because God, when you're saved, God is leading your life. He's your leader. He's the vine. You're the branches. You're the sacrifice. He's the high priest. He's the shepherd. Like, this depends on him. And when you begin to accuse your process, when you begin to go, I'm never going to get this. I'm a failure. I'm messed up. You're actually accusing God's leadership. And that's not to make you feel bad about it. It's I'm trying to help you have a perspective of it. It's actually going to be okay when you mess up because you're in his hands. And it's just not, I literally am feeling like almost something behind this question, like a weight on someone's shoulders. And yes. I just want to tell you, like, it's okay. That like the righteous man falls 7 times. So that means if you
gets back up.
Yes, if you've fallen, I could call you righteous because a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. And so it's in the getting back up, but it's actually him who lifts your head. It's him who lifts you up. It's not on you. So I just want to say, like, don't take yourself too seriously. This is a long race. Give yourself a break and lean into him. Because there's so much more grace where that came from.
Yes. I would say, let's jump into handlebars, wrap this session up. My handlebar is this. If you're struggling with guilt and condemnation, if this question is for you and you're asking yourself, how do I decipher the two? How do I move forward? My handlebar for you is to go read Romans 5.
Yes.
Go read Romans 5 and specifically linger in verses 6 through 16. And I'm just going to read verse 8 here to you, but it's, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What I love about this verse is we herald this verse for the unbeliever, but oftentimes for the believer that's been walking with God for some time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, it's like somewhere we believe the devil's narrative that this no longer applies to us.
Right.
But why we were still sinners.
You're supposed to have graduated from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the reality is that righteousness is a gift. And my handlebar for you is read Romans 5. Read Romans 5 until it jumps off the pages. And read it in the NLT. Read it in the Passion Translation. Read it in the Message. Read it in, you know, one of those translations that the religious will say is second best or secondary, or go read it in something that gives that beautiful heart language that you can relate to and you can go, oh my gosh, while I was still a sinner, you died for me. You chose me. That's my handlebar.
Yes. I want to say this too, because I think humility plays a part in this. I think when you've put yourself in the position, like I've got to figure this out, that's actually pride being expressed, which is okay. I'm not saying, like, literally this is part of the process and God loves it. This is sanctification. But that's actually pride to say, I need to do more because God is your leader. And so, and he's your father and he loves you and he wants to give you grace. And in James 4, it says, James 4, 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mm. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so
it's in the context of humility.
Yes. I think admitting that you need God is the first step in this whole thing. Has to be. I need you, God. I cannot do this on my own. I'll never be able to do it on my own. Thank you for grace. Like, and it's, yes. It's a promise. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So amen. That's my handlebar.
One, the door's knocking. It's Sarah Beth. She's here to, yes, to record.
Okay, cool.
We love you guys. We're going to do a session with Sarah Beth.
Amen.
All right. See you on the next one.